All right, guys, we're back. First of all, Al Belso says on Twitter that he'd like to buy my old Pontiac Grand Am as part of Black Friday sale, but that I sold it already. I actually did not sell it, Al. I don't have it, but Wolfpack has it. I gave it to Wolfpack, and they're still driving it around the country.
Which is that car, man, like a rock.
Yeah, that's right.
Wrong brand for that song,
but still. No, that Pontiac is a warrior. It's made for warriors, and it's a stallion. So every once in a while, we got to spend a little bit of money to put the engine back in.
Yeah.
Right. And I beat that car up so bad when I was driving. That's the car I drove across the country in with Dave Kohler to start Young Turks. And I was telling my son a story I probably shouldn't have been telling him. Mm-hmm. That so Dave drove with me for 8 days. And then we got to Vegas, and Dave flew back to New Jersey. And I finished the last leg from Vegas to LA. And I wanted to have a little bit of fun. Now, at this point, everything I own is in the car, mm-hmm. okay, which I assure you was not much.
Uh-huh.
We had once gone to this desert town in the middle of between LA and Vegas, but you got to go off the road mm-hmm. in like one of those tiny little desert roads, and you drive and drive and drive. Is it SEMA? I think it was SEMA, not Simi Valley.
No, SEMA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's usually about one person that lives there. There's mm-hmm. like a house, there's a post office, and they got some sort of ranch kind of like barely there. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. And we'd been there once before on Steve-O's bachelor party, like mm-hmm. a million years ago. Well, at the time it was not a million years. Anyway, like, oh, let me try to find that again. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm driving, I got into it, and I'm listening to Martin Luther King speeches. So I'm getting all pumped up. Okay, sometimes I get discouraged. But there is a balm to cure the sin-sick soul and to make the wounded whole. Anyway, mm-hmm. and on that road, it's really like, it's like a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's kind of a fun road. So I started driving faster and faster, and I started taking the bumps a little faster. I'm like, this is fun. Mm-hmm. And then I took one of them way too fast, and I kind of got up in the air in the old Pontiac.
Yes. Okay, someone was recounting this story recently, like literally last week. I forget who it was, but that's such a funny story.
Okay, that's so weird that they were. I was telling my son. Anyway, and I got up in the air, and then I landed hard, like bam, and the bottom bottomed out.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? I'm in the middle of the desert. And back then there's no cell phones. I'd be totally screwed if I broke the car again mm-hmm. at that point, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
I would have to walk dozens of miles in the desert with no one around. I haven't seen a car in a long, long time. There's no houses, nothing, right? And I was like, ooh, that was a bad idea.
Yeah, really bad idea.
I got really nervous, like for like a good solid couple of minutes. I was like, okay, it's still driving, nothing's falling out yet.
Now, if you have a dependable car and you drive carefully, that sounds like a really great place to be right now. How do you get there again? I'd like to drive there tonight and probably stay there for a couple months and not reappear for.
By the way, so I got to SEMA.
Yeah.
And there used to be a lady who ran the post office there, mm-hmm. but the last time we had gone. But she wasn't there. I mean, I don't know if somebody else is there or nobody. But so when I got there, there was no one in town.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which is again like two buildings, a house and a post office.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is kind of amazing. Like if you were a bad guy, you can mm-hmm. just walk into the house
mm-hmm.
and do whatever you want, probably for days.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but don't get any funny ideas about SEMA, okay? And it's America. They probably have a shotgun, so be cool. Okay. So anyway, that was the story about the Pontiac, and it's still somewhere out there.
Yeah.
For a while, they were driving it in the Midwest, so it was going to Missouri and mm-hmm. and all these other places where we had a chance to win. And you know, we passed in one of the houses of Missouri. We got a lot of Republicans to vote for it. Which is amazing. We just couldn't get it. We got passed in the Senate. We couldn't get it passed in the House.
Mm-hmm.
And Missouri Senate is majority Republican. No, we can win, guys. We're really ahead. All right. Now I think it's on the East Coast. All right. Anyway, what I was going to talk about was Columbia, because we did this story about affirmative action.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of how I got into Columbia and why I went to Columbia. And it connects because when I was in New York at the end of last week, I went to Columbia Journalism School and did their podcast. Mm-hmm. So when it comes out, you guys should check it out. It was kind of an interesting conversation about journalism. I think you would have enjoyed it, mm-hmm. Anna. And it was like good times. It reminded me of when I went to school there, obviously 3 years in law school. And I partly told a story in the podcast. So my dad tricked me.
Okay.
He wanted me to go to business school, which I did undergrad, and then go to law school. And when I would say, "Dad, why? I mean, you're not a lawyer. It doesn't seem like a particularly interesting thing to do." He's like, "No, in America, lawyers rip you off. So you become lawyer, you rip them off." Like, Dad, that's not really how it works. But okay. Mm-hmm. And he didn't mean it in a bad way. He just means fight back, right? So he's like, okay. You apply for jobs.
Yeah.
And you apply for law school. Just apply top 10. That's it. Okay, fine. Top 12. Okay. All right. You don't get in the top 12, don't go to law school. You get a great job, get a job. Okay.
Yeah.
Now he knows I'm kind of lazy and I don't really want at the time, right? Yep. It was a different jank back then. And I don't really want a finance job, which is all that anybody's getting out of Penn, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was a great trick. I had good grades and I was good at the LSATs because I had okay grades. It was really good LSAT scores because a major part of the test is logical reasoning. Like, this is the easiest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, it is blindingly easy for me. So I'm being a dick, but I'm just keeping it real. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I get a good score, and next thing you know, I got into like 8 out of the 12 school, 9. 8 on a wait list, I think. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I'm going to interview. And the furthest I got was United Jersey Bank. So I didn't get any of the big things.
Yeah.
I didn't get no Wall Street, nothing. Because I'm going in half-ass. I don't really want it. I don't know what I'm doing. Whereas like I went to Wharton undergrad. And the other Wharton undergrad guys are killers, right?
Yeah.
They're like frothing at the mouth.
Yeah.
And not all of them, but a lot of them. And they're like, "Oh, I want the job at Goldman so bad," right? And I come in and I'm like, I remember the Clorox interview. So Clorox is a giant, you might know it as a brand, but it's actually a huge company that has dozens of brands.
Right.
It's a competitor of Procter & Gamble. So if you care about marketing, and I like marketing better than I like finance or the other things, that's an important job. And it turns out they had a really tough interview process. And I didn't know that. It was my first interview ever to get a real job, mm-hmm, not for internships. So the lady's grilling me and she's like eviscerating me. And in the middle of the interview, I swear I said, "I'm sorry, but I just want to tell you, this is my first interview." I don't think she cared. I did not get that.
You didn't get the job.
No,
oh, okay.
No, I didn't get a second interview. I didn't get anything. So I get all the way up to United Jersey Bank to the last interview, and they bring you in, and they 6-7 different people interview. The last vice president asks, "So, Cenk, do you love finance?" And you know me, my problem is I'm too honest. The correct answer is, "Of course, man."
Nothing more exciting than a career in finance.
Actually,
to be honest with you, finance doesn't sound so bad. Like,
okay.
But anyway, okay.
But the correct answer is UJB. UJB. When I was a kid, I had a United Jersey Bank sweater. I love finance.
Uh-huh,
right?
Uh-huh.
The incorrect answer was the one I gave. Yeah, kind of. And he's like, "Okay, gotcha." No job. Didn't get a job. So, since I literally got no jobs coming out of college. And remember, my majors, what they called the concentrations, were political science. Nobody is hiring for political science out mm-hmm. of Penn. Mm-hmm. And entrepreneurial management. Okay, congrats. Go start your own company.
Yeah, go be an entrepreneur.
Right. So that didn't work.
Yeah.
So then I didn't have a choice. I had to go to law school. So I was like, and being the immigrant family, we're like, "Okay, what is highest ranked school you got into?" "Okay, Columbia, we go there." I also got into NYU. Columbia was ranked 4th at the time. I don't know what it is now. And NYU was 5th.
Yeah. And
NYU is in the Village. It's great. The Village is fantastic. It's like fun and it was like active and blah, blah, blah. "Yes, very good. But Columbia 4, NYU down all the way at 5. So we go to Colombia.
Wow. Man, it's amazing how different, how similar but different our parents are, because I don't know if it was my dad, it was more my mom. She was super selfish when it came to college decisions that I made. It had to be a local school. She didn't want me to leave. Right? And also, you know, Armenian tradition, especially for women, is not so great. So the idea was you live at home with your parents until you get married, obviously. So at 26, when I moved out, they were like, what have we done wrong? Nothing, I'm just 26 and I can't drive to work for an hour and a half every morning anymore. You know what I'm saying? So I made the decision to only apply to two colleges. Both of them were local. And it is what it is.
So my dad is totally different. But he still has some of the same instincts. So let me explain. So it worked out perfectly for me. I'm such a fucking lucky guy. It's ridiculous. Like I'm not like incredibly wealthy. I'm not a this or that. I don't have a mansion or a yacht. But like I had a great family. They were so wonderful to me. Nice, like middle class, nice house in the suburbs, just good education, just right. So every day I wake up and I say, luckiest guy alive, okay? So I wound up going to Penn, which was an hour and 15 minutes from East Brunswick, New Jersey, where I grew up.
Yeah.
Perfect. And my dad's so sweet. He'd drive down, like, I don't remember if it was every other weekend or once a month, and he'd take me to breakfast. Okay?
Aww.
And then we'd talk about politics and business, and he made the drive because he loved it and he wanted to see me, okay? And then for law school, I went to Columbia. And this is, again, it's random. If I had gotten into Stanford, which was ranked number three, my dad would have been like, Stanford three, Columbia all the way down at four. We go to Stanford. Okay. Guaranteed. It would not have been, it would have been a no-brainer. Okay. But as luck would have it, I went to Columbia, which was an hour from East Brunswick. So I'd take the bus in all the time. They'd come pick me up. And you remember the, I've told you guys, if you've been members for a while, story of the nightmare on 109th Street when I lived there.
Yes.
And one time my parents come to pick me up and a homeless guy got his, he's like pulling a Charlie Rose or whatever. And
oh, he, no.
And sorry, I shouldn't make jokes. But anyway, and he's pissing all over the street.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, no, mom, don't look, don't look, don't look. But dad, keep driving, keep driving.
Disaster.
So, but it did work out. But so he would have sent me really far away. It's just that I didn't get into that school.
Yeah, if I had gotten into an Ivy League school that was far away, not going there.
Yeah, no,
I mean, no. I would have fought my parents. The thing is, at that time, I didn't fight them enough. I got older and started fighting them a lot more, which your parents love you. Like, fight them on things. You know, like they're gonna accept it eventually. Like when I moved out, they thought it was like the worst thing in the world, and then they're like, okay.
Okay, let me leave you on this note, okay? Because I think this is a, I think, I hope it's an important note, right? It's that, and this was an important realization for me as I was doing my career track, which is very painful because there was like 10 years of like average salary of like $17,000 or whatever, right? You know, Social Security sends you that thing of this is how much income you had every year. I mean, I got 10 years missing. I mean, it's a disaster. Anyway. So I realized at one point that everybody means well, not, of course not everybody, but most people, the people that love you, like your family, they mean well. They just look at it from their perspective, which is not the same as your perspective. So, and it's true for me too as a parent, as my perspective is keep my kids safe.
Right.
That is my number one priority, and number 17 is something else. Okay, like, and there's nothing in between, right? But for them, their number one priority eventually is going to be live a fulfilling and happy and interesting life.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope that that's their priority. I hope that they are intellectually curious, and I hope that they want to learn about the world and tackle the world, etc. But if you're tackling the world, you're going to take some risks, and there's going to be some dangers around. And sometimes you're gonna have to leave home when your parents don't want you to.
Yeah.
And when they fight you, they're not fighting you because they mean bad. They're fighting you because they mean really well. Yes. You're just looking at it from their perspective.
Exactly, exactly. And by the way, during the time when I made that decision to move out, there were like two forces dragging me in two completely opposite directions. There were my parents that are like, you stay with us until you're like 50, right? Mm-hmm. And then there was Jake and Steve, where they were like, you're 26 years old, move out of your parents' house, what are you doing with your life, right? Mm-hmm. And so finally it was like, they're right. Because I hated the commute, it was the worst. And also I wanted to experience life, like when you don't get to live life when you're with your parents. Like, let's just keep it 100, right?
Yeah, it's definitely right.
Yeah. So.
Okay, super last story is that every once in a while I'd run out of money and I'd have to go back and stay with my parents.
Yeah.
Who had at that point moved to Freehold.
Yeah.
So every time I ran out of money and I'd come back home, my dad's like, oh great, you are back.
So different. Oh, my parents would be elated.
No, no, my mom was secretly thrilled.
Yeah.
She's like, what food would you like?
Oh, totally.
Okay.
Do you know what my mom does that I think is super cute, but also sometimes kind of frustrating, because she'll call me and she'll be like, I made sabas, which is like my absolute favorite soup ever. Mm-hmm. If I'm in like New York, I will like run across the country to. She will like purposely make things that she knows I love just so I go over there.
Of course.
Which is like cute, but also kind of annoying, because it's not like I'm avoiding you, Mom. It's life is so overwhelming sometimes. You're working and you have all this stuff going on.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah.
But if someone's gonna be annoying, that is the best way to be annoying. Hey, I have made something you love. Would you like to consume it?
I know, my
yes,
mom's
I would.
The best. I love her. Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll leave it right there. On another post game, I'll tell you about the job my dad made me take on my second round of being an attorney. There was the first round, and I don't often talk about the second round.
You don't, no.
Yeah, and in fact, I represented Montel Williams in a sexual harassment case.
Oh.
And that's really, really interesting. So,
yeah.
But that's for another day. Let's discuss it then. Okay, you guys are members. You'll get to see it anyway. All right, much love, guys. Oh, why are we? Oh, we should. Did we do the bye-bye earlier?
I think we did. Yeah.
Oh, we did. All right. Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow.